Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617.
Welcome, everybody, to the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. This here is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome on, welcome all to the show today. As we get going with a great show today, we want to say welcome especially to our surrounding city and states, our countries near and far, as well as those who called 424-243-9617. Again, 424-243-9617. Just press the number one, join the conversation. We'd be glad to have to hear from you, especially your prayer requests, prayer praises, or any of those good things today, as we have a great time in the Lord, praising the Lord, having a great time here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. So why don't we just get started off right on the right foot with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we thank you for another day. In you we have another way, Lord Jesus. And we want to thank you for all the listeners, Lord Jesus, that you've given us over the years. Lord Jesus, the faithful ones that we've had, as well as those, Lord Jesus, who've just come and then just petered out, Lord Jesus, no matter who they may be, Lord Jesus, and no matter where they may be at, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you touch each and every one, Lord Jesus. We ask you to touch their hearts and help them, Lord Jesus, as whatever their needs may be, especially the soul who's nearest hell. We ask you to reach down and help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, knowing that your word said, Lord Jesus, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us, Lord Jesus, so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, no matter whether it be mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing to pray, Lord Jesus, so they can keep on keeping on for you, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, those dealing with COVID-19, Lord Jesus, first off to the family and friends, Lord Jesus, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to comfort them with your Holy Spirit as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then, Lord Jesus, for those going through COVID-19 as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to touch them, heal them, raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can. And then, Lord Jesus, for all these dirty, rotten situations we read about in newspapers, hear about on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you right now that reach down and touch us, Lord Jesus. Help us to learn to love our neighbor as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor, who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen.
Amen, and amen. Thank you for that. All right.
How you doing, Six?
I'm great. How are you?
Doing great, Six. My mental's doing great this morning. How are you?
Mental is good. Got a great hot cup of coffee. As I drink my coffee, my mom, my dad, my sister and brother, they drink with me. So they're up in the sky looking down. So that's a blessing right there. Also, mental is great. We made the woke list. This is not a ghost. This is a live podcast. So all's good. So hello to my family, your family, my friends, your friends. And we want to say happy heavenly birthday to Marvin Gaye. His birthday is today. But oddly enough, he was killed on his birthday in 1983. So, happy
right.
birthday, Mark. Okay. Yep. So, who else we got with us?
Happy, and here's Pastor Bonnet. It's Ruth, and happy Palm Sunday to everyone.
Thank you, Palm Sunday. Okay. And the pastor's here early?
Yep. Well, but first we'll get our scripture reading in, And then we'll see if he wants to do his message. But first, let us get our scripture reading in section, okay?
Yeah, let's
so here we go.
Amen.
Amen.
Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God, which he carried into the land of Shunar, to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. The king spake unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, children in whom was no blemish, but well-favored and skillful in all wisdom, and cunning in knowledge and understanding science, and such as had ability in them to stand in the king's palace, in whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, and at the end thereof they might stand before the king. Now, among these were of the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, unto whom the prince of the eunuchs gave names, for he gave unto Daniel the name of Belteshazzar, and to Hananiah of Shadrach, and to Meshach, and to Azariah of Abednego. But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said unto Daniel, I fear, my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink. For why should he see your faces worse liking than the children which are of your sort? Then shall ye make the endanger my head to the king. Then said Daniel to Melzar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Then let our countenances be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat. And as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this matter, and proved them 10 days. At the end of 10 days, their countenances appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which should eat the portion of the king's meat. Thus, Belzar took away the portion of their meat and the wine that they should drink, and gave them pulse. This was Daniel chapter 1, verses 1 through 16. May God add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen.
Amen. Thank you for that reading, Ruthie. Thank you for that reading, First Lady Wolfgang. Thank you for the opening prayer, Kenneth Wolfgang. And once again, we're joining the Six Eyes Gospel Show. We thank you for joining us. Phone lines are open, 424-2417. And we want to say happily, happily birthday to Nikhil's father. It's his birthday today, too, so happy, happy birthday to him. Pastor Bonner, are you? Amen.
Yes, I am. I have an 11 o'clock program here, and I mean a 1 o'clock program, excuse me.
So
I'm definitely on here a little bit earlier.
All right, not a problem.
Since it's being hosted at our church here in Somerville, I don't want to be coming in late, and we got visitors coming in.
Mm-hmm.
So I wanted to try to make sure that I was here early enough to talk about the subject. Now, before I go on any further, can you hear me clearly?
Amen.
Amen. I just want to make sure I'm coming through clear. Amen. I just want to make sure I'm clear because I'm not certain I have these earbuds in. So I'm not sure of my sound because I have the noise cancellation on so that I don't pull in outside noise while I'm ministering. Once again, I want to say thank you, Brother Six, and to all of the Six Eyes Radio Network family and friends. Thank you all for, once again, allowing me the opportunity to minister here on the Six Eyes Gospel Show, the place where you get your praise on without leaving the house. And so I want to say thank you. This is a very powerful and wonderful Sunday. This Sunday is known to us in the Christian world as Palm Sunday. It is the time where before Jesus was crucified on the cross, the week prior, that Jesus sent the disciples to borrow a mule that never no one had rode on. And as he rode on that mule, that donkey, as he rode on him into the city, the people was crying, "Hosanna, Hosanna, Hosanna," to him. And they was laying palm leaves down on the ground. And the rulers of that day, the quote-unquote religious leaders of that day began to question him and say, "Do you hear the people? Stop the people from doing what they're doing." And he said to them, "If I stop them, the rocks will cry out." In other words, this was a unstoppable praise. It was most worthy. All of creation knew that something great was about to happen. Never in our wildest imagination, if we was in that day and time, would we have imagined the worst, seeing that the people was looking for the best. But it was in this we experienced the what is called the Passover meal. After that, he went on and he had the Passover with his disciples. And that's a teaching all by itself of the Passover, what God had inquired of them. If you want to look over that, you can always go into your Bible and you can read about the Passover as you look into Exodus and see how those things are structured. But nevertheless, actually, you can look in Genesis, because today I'm going to be dealing with Exodus, talking about the anointing. The word anointing is, to some people, a word that is strange. But it's not a real strange word. But it is one that needs careful examination for proper understanding. Now, some people think that when you're shouting in Pentecostal churches, when they running around and say, "Ooh, he anointed, ooh, he anointed." Okay, we're not going to debate that. But that's not quote-unquote the anointing. The anointing is so much more. The word anoint comes from the word to be smeared upon. One of the things that shepherds done in olden days, because in the field, the sheets will have a lot of wool on them before they were sheared. And because they were in the wilderness or in the open fields, bugs and different type of insects could get entangled in their wool. And so what the shepherds did for the sheep is they had a certain oil that they would put on the sheep. And when they put that oil on the sheep, on their sheep, it will cause those bugs not to be, those ticks not to be able to stick within the fur, damaging that merchandise, damaging the livestock. And so therefore they were able to anoint the sheep. Amen. But today I want to talk to you about, and as we go throughout this month, we're going to be dealing with the anointing. For just a basic principle, there are two types of anointing. There's a inward anointing, and there's an outward anointing. I'm going to say it one more time. There's an inward anointing, and there's an outward anointing. The inward anointing deals with your personal walk in life. The outward anointing deals with your work in life. In other words, some people are anointed to be kind. And then there's other people who are anointed to do kind things. In other words, you are taught kind, you're being nice and pleasant everywhere you go, but you won't go nowhere outside your comfort zone. But those that have an anointing, they'll go to foreign areas. They'll go to areas where they're unfamiliar because they have an anointing to go there. So from the biblical standpoint, Brother Bonnet, what do the anointing mean? Well, if I can give you this from a biblical standpoint, it is the enabling power of God to finish or to complete a task. It is the enabling power of God. When we talk about the anointing of God, we're talking about God's power to do. It's what he's empowered to do. One biblical translation of the word anointing is to consecrate. That is to make sacred. Amen. That means this anointing is for a purpose and nothing else. In fact, early in Ephesians, in Exodus, we'll find Exodus chapter 30, verses 22-23, and you can read it at your leisure. We found out, and we're going back to that oil again, we found out that Moses was given a instruction on a type of oil to anoint the priest. Not only to anoint the priest to make them holy, but to anoint everything else. Now, I'm going to skim through this as we look at Exodus chapter 30. Verses 20, we see here that the Lord said to Moses, collect choice spices. Mm-hmm. He gave them a measurement on these choice spices of pure myrrh. He told them just how much to measure up. He told them get frankincense of cinnamon, pure cinnamon, and to get so many pounds of that. He tells them later on, he say, and measure them to make sure by the shekel gold from the temple. In other words, I want your instrument to be so precise, your measurement to be so precise that you use what I give you to make sure that this formula is not like anything else. And he goes on to tell him, say, then I want you to add some more stuff to it. Now, I ain't going to tell you what all them stuff is because, number one, they're hard to pronounce for me. But you can read it right there in your Bible. And he tells them to make all of this and then take 1 gallon of pure olive oil. And he said, blend it the way person who made incense blend. And if you blend it the same way they blend to make incense, this will be a anointed oil with a fragrance like none other. He said, this is what I want you to do with this oil. And remember, I told you that the anointing means to smear. So in order to smear, you have to have what's going to be smeared upon them. And so in order for him to anoint something or to anoint someone, he had to develop the substance or the product. And what was given to him was this formula for holy oil. Then he was given the instructions, this oil is holy. Do not use it for your personal use. Many times in our churches, we give out bottles of olive oil for people to anoint their houses. But that oil is not for them to cook with. That oil is not for them to even use as a cologne. That oil is not for them to use mischievously. In other words, you can't go around and anoint something that God didn't tell you to anoint. Amen, somebody. You can't go and because you don't like this person, you're going to use this or as some voodoo. No. That's not the purpose of the oil. Amen. And this oil is used to make something holy. It is to use to make something, to consecrate something for purpose. Amen, somebody. And so this oil that's given to them, he tells Moses, he said, when you make this oil, he said, I want you to anoint the tabernacle. The tabernacle is the place, the tent in which they put the ark of the covenant of God. And so when he had that ark, he had to make that place holy. Today needs to be holy. Some of our I said so, but the Holy Spirit stopped me. All of our homes today need to be holy. Amen. 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 A lot of times we don't understand that word holiness and what it is to be holy. But Amen. But so we need to be holy. My vehicle needs to be holy. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
My lifestyle needs to be holy.
Yes,
my walk with God needs to be holy.
About
Amen. Amen. So let me slow out. So we're back here, and we're looking at. He tells Moses. He said, use this sacred oil. He called it sacred. That means it's not to be used like anything else. This ain't the stuff that you're getting ready to go on your date and you put some on your wrist and rub them together. Amen. Or put it up under your chin. Amen. No. Now, I remember growing up as a young boy that mama would take that holy oil, that blessed oil. We called it blessed oil. She would take that blessed oil out, and before we went to school, she would anoint our foreheads, and she said, I can't go with you, but God can. Oh, my God, have mercy. Lord, thank you. Thank you. I felt something there. That's down on my inside. Glory to God. Because she covered us. Why? Because she didn't know what bugs, what things that might sneak up on us and creep in us and try to contaminate us when she released us from her sight. Glory to God. But she knew that God, oh, glory, hallelujah. She knew that God can go with us. She knew that the power of God would be with us. Amen. And not only will God's power be with us, but God will order our steps. Amen. That means things that we might have, would have done. Because we was anointed by mama before we left the house, we didn't do what we thought we were going to do. Some of us grew up learning, saying, man, I was going to do this, but something told me to do that. Something told me to go home. The best inscription, the other name for the Holy Spirit is something told me. Amen, somebody. To all the churchgoers, amen. Amen. Let me get back to the text. So he says to him, use this sacred oil to anoint the tabernacle, the Ark of the Covenant, the table, and all its utensils. Amen. He said, anoint the lampstand and the accessories. Amen. In other words, he said, man, I want you to cover everything. Every now and then we would see mama. She would get that oil, and we thought it was strange, but mama would not only just anoint us, but she'll go into the room and she'll anoint the window sills. Glory to God. She will go to outside and anoint the door, front and back. Come inside, anoint the front and back. Then walk through every room, anointing each window. My Lord, have mercy. Glory to God. And to us growing up, we thought that was just strange. Well, since we're talking about the Passover, let me put my notes down and deviate like the Holy Spirit giving me. Amen. One of the things that we must understand about the anointing involves a covering, a shield or protection. Amen. And so when the children of Israel were still in bondage under the Egyptian rule, and they was in Egypt, and they was under that rule both mentally and physically. And as Moses was demonstrating the power of God to Pharaoh, it came down to the 10th plague. And on the 10th plague, as Moses was being told that the next time you see my face, and he was dealing with that with Pharaoh, Moses was told by God, children of Israel, to go and get a lamb. Because the death angel was going to be released in Egypt. And the death angel had an assignment to kill every firstborn male, be it human or beast, kill him. And so God tells Moses, I'm going to cover the children of Israel, but this is how I'm going to do it. They're going to take a lamb, and God gave them a set prescription on how to do it, how to consecrate the lamb, how to prepare. This is all what the Passover means. It is that part, if you go back to Exodus, chapter 6, I believe it is, and you read that, he shares with them how to prepare the lamb. Amen. And how to prepare the other foods that were going to be part of the Passover. But he tells them to take the blood of the lamb and put it on the doorpost and the lintels. That means every open space. Amen. Of each home. And when the death angel comes, the death angel was going to see the blood and pass by. This is why we in the Pentecostal church begin to plead the blood of Jesus. Why? Because the blood of Jesus over my life covered me from the death. Amen. It covered me from danger seen and danger unseen. Amen. It covers, it washes, it purifies. Glory to God. And because Christ risen, it redeems. Amen, somebody.
Amen.
Slow down.
I'm with you.
We're here. We're talking about the anointing. The anointing, the first anointing before Moses made this oil. The first anointing was the blood of the Lamb, which was symbolic of Christ's blood that would later be shed for the remission of sin. After all, the scripture said, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission for sin. Glory to God. And so Christ's blood spared us from death. That's why we that are born again, believers, receivers of the free gift of Jesus Christ, that's salvation, where our names are now written in the Lamb's Book of Life, we don't have to fear death. Amen. That's why
Amen.
We have funerals, we call them home-going ceremony. Why? Because we have gone from labor to reward. Now, let me get back over here. And so the Passover, when the death angel was released, he saw that blood. He saw that blood. He saw that covering. He saw the anointed covering. In other words, angel had no authority now in that area. And that's why it's so important for us that believe in the power of prayer to lay hands on our children, to lay hands on our spouses, to believe for our brothers and sisters, and to cover them in the shielded protection of God. Amen. Why? Because we don't know what all they have to endure. We don't know what challenges is going to be in their life. But whatever challenges is going to be there, we release the power of God to keep them. Amen.
Right.
Now,
amen.
So
amen.
We see that. So that is a covering. That is an anointing for the outside. Amen. Because it does not, quote, unquote, mean that every house that had the blood covered over the post, that everyone in the house was in good standing with God. It just means they was in the safe zone. That's all it means. It meant that they was in a place of righteousness. That it don't mean they was righteous. It just means that where they were was a place of righteousness. Amen. They was in a place where what was released could not touch them. Amen. And so much like the umbrella. The umbrella, as much as it is what it is, that no matter what size the umbrella is, no matter how big it is, that umbrella means nothing if it's closed. Mm-hmm. But that umbrella may have a 6-foot span in a circle. That means if you just short like me, man, that big old umbrella going to keep you from being wet. Amen. It's going to cover you. But if I close, then I have removed myself from its covering. That means I'm not covered by its anointing. See, the umbrella has an ability to not stop it from raining, just stop it from raining on you. Amen. And to have the anointing of God don't mean people are not going to shoot in your neighborhood, but you ain't got to worry about them shooting you. It don't mean that storms won't happen. You just don't have to worry about the storm overtaking you. To be anointed, to be covered means just that, shielded. Mm-hmm. Talk to someone or being yourself in an accident where they say, man, I don't see how you got out of that. I don't see how you survived that. Wow. Why? Because there's an anointing that will keep. I want you to think about this. Matter of fact, to all my cooks out there, I want you to go and get your favorite piece of steak. Get two pieces. Now, I want you to put both of those steaks in the refrigerator. Now, I want you to set both of them on a plate. One you're going to put in the refrigerator on a plate. But the other one you're going to take your sandwich bag that seals. And you're going to put that steak inside that sandwich bag. And you're going to close that snap seal or the zip seal on it. And put it in the refrigerator. And I want you to leave it alone for about a week. You already know there's going to be a difference when you come back. There's a difference between you and I. We may be in the same world. Mm-hmm. We may be in the same refrigerator. But if you don't have the anointing of God, there's going to be something that looks different about you from the way I look. Why? Because the anointing of God will keep you. Oftentimes people say, ooh, Pastor Bonnie, you look good for your age. I say, thank you. To God be all the glory. Why? Because it's him who has kept me. It's not because I've been so righteous, but he knew how to put the seal over me. And although I had to deal with the elements of this world, glory to God, he knew that if he shielded me, if he covered me, I'll be protected. I'll last a lot longer. Amen. So you get the analogy now. There's a difference between the outward anointing and the inward anointing. And what that was an outward anointing because I look good don't mean I am good. Oh, Lord, help me. I'm going to keep it on me because I don't want nobody to think I'm talking about nobody. So let me keep the statements that I'm about to make, let me keep them all directed towards. Yeah, I'm going to keep them directed this way because I don't want you to think I'm talking about you and say, preacher, that's saying you're talking about us over the air. Now, I'm talking about me. Mm-hmm. Let me just talk about me. I may look good, but you don't know if I cussed you out in my mind. I may look good, but you don't know if I'm a fornicator or not. You don't know if I'm full of lust and everything else disgusting. You don't know whether or not I'm a murderer or not. I may look good on the outside because many have been anointed to do something. The Bible says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. That means what God has planned for you is for you. We saw over the years, over the past several decades, many televangelists that started out strong, but something took them down. What was it? They had the anointing to do something, but they wasn't anointed on the inside to live something. See, the anointing on the inside takes what's on the outside and treasure it on the inside. So I don't want to just look good to you. I don't want to just sound good to you because you ain't with me. I know that's broken English, but you're not with me when I go home at night. Hey, glory to God. You're not with me when I'm all by myself in the midnight hour dealing with what I have to deal with as I try to live this life of holiness. You're not with me when those that have come against me have talked against me, and I could have threw these deuces at them. That's right. I know how to ball these and make a good knuckle, glory to God, and put it together and make you a bona fide knuckle sandwich, glory to God. But something on the inside me reminds me that no weapon formed against me shall prosper.
Amen.
That his word says he'll fight my battle. And so if he's going to fight my battle for me, that means I don't have to fight it. I can trust him. Glory to God. If he said that no weapon formed against me shall prosper, that means whatever you did, it didn't have its full intent in the first place. So I should be thankful. And since I'm thankful, that means I done learned how to be appreciative of every waking day. You heard me say it before. I thank God that my name made the woke list. Why? Because I could be still sleeping and in my grave. Y'all ain't going to talk to me. But that's all right. There's an anointing to live holy, not just talk holy. There's an anointing to live righteous. And that's the problem is we want to live like the devil, but then claim God. The Bible says this people, they mouth speak about me, but their lifestyle is far from me. Glory to God. In other words, what he's saying is you talk a good game, but you ain't walking a good one. You ever have somebody that act like they know how to shoot pool, and then you got there, they scrapped every ball, they couldn't make a shot, they started shooting hard because they were hoping to get a lucky shot in. My goodness, you look at them and say, you told a good game. And the problem is, the Bible said that the earnest expectation of the preacher waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. In other words, what it's saying is that people are looking for genuine sons and daughters of the Most High God. Why? Because they are the ones that will lay hands on the sick and the sick recover. Why? Because they are anointed to do what God wants them to do. And so because they are anointed to do it, God does it in their life and through their life. They know how to go out. And you have some that know how to go out into the rough areas, that know how to go into the gutters and to the ghettos and to the slum alleys. And they know how to go around crack houses and not want crack. They know how to go around drug houses and not be tempted. They know how to go around that worldly spiritual place, the drinker, the liquor store, and not be tempted by it. They know how to go because they are anointed to do it, and their lifestyle proves that not only are they anointed to speak well, but they're anointed to do well, to live right. One of my former pastor, Pastor R.J. Washington, when I was living in Jacksonville, Florida, Titus Harvest Dome, one thing he used to do when we would go out and witness on Saturdays. Now, we're talking about Florida now. Jacksonville had its own beaches. And we would go, and it was time for us to go out and witness before the witnessing time. We had 3 hours of early morning, Saturday morning prayer. 3 hours. Three. Not 3 minutes. Not 30 minutes. 3 hours. And especially on the men, especially the men. Women too, but especially the men. He would tell us. He said, "Now, if you can't do an hour of prayer, You can't go out witnessing with us to the beach. And someone will say, why that? I mean, come on, you're just going to witness. No. We're going witnessing, but where we're going witnessing, everything is revealed. And unless you are anointed on the inside and out, glory to God, what you see, you're going to begin to desire if it ain't in you. You know the commercial. Y'all saw it. Nike did it. I mean, Gatorade did it real well. And all that they were doing, the question kept asking, being asked, is it in you? Is it in you? Is it in you? Because if you're going to do something, something needs to be in you to empower you to do what you're going to do. They showed Serena Williams with that racket, and as she was playing that tennis, and sweat just dripping down. The question was, is it in you?
Yeah.
My question today, is it in you? Is it in you? Is it in you? What in you? Is God's word in you? Is God anointing is you? Is His power in you to stay holy? Amen. Amen. The word says, be ye holy as your heaven, your Father in heaven is also holy. So is it in you? Do you have the word of God in you? Yes, you may be able to quote two or three scriptures, but are you living two and three scriptures? Amen, somebody. Are you living what you're talking about?
Amen, Pastor.
When you look at my life, I tell them all the time, you ain't got to worry about me. Not only am I mad, but I love my wife. Amen. I got the one I wanted. Amen. I want the one I got. Amen. Amen. And on top of all of that, amen. Amen. I don't have no need. She can't meet. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Y'all ain't gonna talk to me. Let the married folks really say amen. Glory to God if you ain't married. That's all right. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. Keep holding on. But nevertheless, hallelujah, hallelujah. I don't have to worry because my God shall supply all of my needs. And so because his word is in me, I'm not just anointed on the outside. I'm anointed on the inside. Now, I want to direct your attention. Allow me to shift just for a moment. And you may hear a little shift in my sound because I'm switching. I need not them. They're going to see me, and they're going to want to talk. So since the crowd gathered, I got to crank the view.
You're enjoying the message with Pat Bonnet here on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen.
And so I want you to turn with me, amen, as we look at 1 Samuel. Amen. As we look at 1 Samuel. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 9. I want you and paraphrase this story only because the time doesn't permit me to read every bit of it. But I want you to understand what it is to be anointed. Now, before I get that, let me also read 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 11 through 14. Now, I will read that. It says, teach these things and insist that everyone learn them. Don't let anyone think less of you because you're young, whether you're young in faith or young in age. Be an example to all believers. I hear some music. Be an example to all believers in what you're saying in the way you live, in your love, your faith, your priority, until I get there. That was the apostle telling him, until I get there. Focus on reading the scriptures. See, this instructions for and teaching them. Do not neglect the spiritual gifts you receive through prophecy over you when the elders of the church lay hands on you. In other words, he's saying, when you were anointed to do something in ministry, don't forget that. When God saved you, redeemed you from the life of sin, don't forget that. To everyone that I'm talking to on the line now, I need you to understand that God didn't save you just for you. So don't forget that you are saved to be an example to others. You are saved to be an example to others. I'm going to say it again. You, my brother, you, my sister, and me, we are saved to be examples. What kind of examples are we to be? We're to be holy. How do we do that? We do that by upholding the lifestyle of holiness. Why? Because people, ordinary people, are not necessarily going to read the Bible. They're only going to know the Bible because of you and I. And when we are not holy, we do what the early children of Israel did. We begin to look at what others have. We begin to look and desire. So you keep looking at something long enough, you'll start desiring. You know, some of these women out there, they if you go to looking at them too long, they tell you to take a picture and laugh longer. Amen. Because they don't want nothing to do with you, and they're gonna keep on moving. But we are to be an example, amen, because if we don't demonstrate God before them, they won't know God from anything else. And so when the false witnesser, the false prophet, the false teacher comes and say, it don't take all that to serve God. How you going to tell me it don't take all of that to serve God when he require all of that? And how are you going to tell me how to serve God when he's already established how he wants to be served? To love him. How we're to honor him. How we're to respect him. And so we have to be mindful that our life, we can be anointed, we can be gifted to sing, we can be gifted to play the instrument, we can be gifted in administration, we can be gifted in so many things. But if your life itself is not anointed, if you're not living holy, if you're not representing Christ, then you, my brother, you, my sister, will cause people to believe a lie. The children of Israel and Judges, they started mixing around with all these other people. And they started crying to Samuel, give us a king, give us a king. Appoint us a king like other nations. See, we have to be careful as children of God that we don't cause God's jealousy because we are desiring what others have versus what God wants to give us. Because what God has for us is better than what the world could provide. But, yeah, we get it twisted. We get it twisted. We like what they have, and what they have is no comparison to what God desires for us.
Amen. Amen, Pastor.
But they begin to want what they saw others. God was their king. He was their governor. He was their mayor. He was their prime minister. He was their everything. But they said to Samuel, give us a king. And Samuel got mad. He was upset. And God told Samuel, listen, they have not rejected you as a leader. They have rejected me. Preachers, when people don't want to come to church, they ain't rejecting you unless they done told you. They're rejecting God. We don't have to be mad. We have to be faithful to do what he has installed us to do. Now, let me go on because my time is gone. And he said, teach them what a king would do. And so in 1 Samuel chapter 9, we see that he told them that a king going to want your sons, going to draft your sons into this army. They're going to take, and listen to it, going to take 10% of your field, going to take 10% of your increase, going to take 10% of your land and give it to others. He said, this is what a king going to do. And y'all get mad because the preacher say pay your tithes and offering to the church. He said, a king going to take preacher request. King gonna take these things. That's what a king gonna do. And it was amazing that he went on ahead and allowed and chose the first king based on their assumption. Someone tall and strong looking. Someone good to look at. They had eye appeal. But later on, we find out they was anointed. That means they was appointed. They was anointed outward. But inward, they had no anointing. They had no foundation, true relationship with Almighty God. And he chose Saul. And as Samuel went, Saul did not even consider himself. He didn't consider himself. He simply was on a journey to find his daddy's donkeys. The prophet told him, say, I've been waiting on you. The Lord said you were coming. I'm going to anoint you. When he anointed him, that was the oil he anointed him with. That was the type of oil through the ram's horn. He anointed him to be the first king of Israel. But being the first king of Israel, he was anointed to be king, and he reigned a sum of 40 years. But he wasn't anointed in his heart to remain king. Because of that, the kingdomship was stripped from his whole generation, from his whole family line, him coming out of the line of Benjamin, which was the 12th tribe, the 12th son of Jacob. And I'm telling you, it's good, y'all. All month long, we're going to be dealing with the anointing. And all I'm doing is scratching the surface today. There's so much more to this. Tune in tomorrow night. And Lord willing, say the same. We'll pick up right here. And we'll talk about the anointing of a king. Amen. Because
Amen.
God will anoint you to be a leader. But when he anoints you to be a leader, you need also anointing to lead on the inside. So that you're not, because what we see here is Saul later on blames the people for his disobedience. And as a leader, you must not blame others for your wrongdoing. That's what happened to Adam. Adam, our first leader, the father of all of us. Instead of him owning up to his responsibility, say, yes, Lord, I ate. The first statement he said, or the second statement he made, was, the woman you gave me, she gave me and I did eat. Somebody say to yourself, own up to your own sin. You did it. Tell the whole truth.
Amen.
Stop saying, like Flip Wilson used to say, the devil made me do it. The devil made me do it. The devil can't make you do nothing.
Amen, Pastor.
He can only present the choices to you.
Amen.
He can only present them. That's why the Bible says, let no man say when he is tempted that he is tempted of God. He is led astray of his own lust and is enticed. Mm-hmm. So, if it's still in you, you don't have the blood covering your life. What is the blood? That is the redemption blood of Jesus Christ. And that's a whole other part right there. Then you are subject to do any and everything. But when Christ redeemed you, you can stand on if any man conditional be in Christ. He is a new creature. All things, what kind of things? All things are passed away. That means your old nature. And behold, all things become new.
Amen.
And may God bless this word on today. Thank you so much for allowing me the opportunity to minister to you. I pray that it encourage you. This is Palm Sunday. We are saying Hosanna to the Most High, who is Jesus Christ. We thank him for the sacrifice, and we go into Resurrection Sunday next week. Thank him for what he done. I love you all with the love of Christ. As I make my departure, I look for you, all of you to come back and join us tomorrow night as we continue this subject. Dealing with the anointed. God bless you.
God bless you, First Lady, and thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for that powerful message.
Amen.
Amen.
All right.
Hey, Six, could we go ahead into the bloodhound of Scripture before he has to get going so that he can be a part of that?
Yes, we can.
Oh, I'm already gone.
All right. Well, here we go. We'll do this real quick. Here we go.
For it's written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
You notice here, it says, let his habitation be desolate. And we'll hear that one more time.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
And you notice it also says, let his bishopric let somebody else take. We'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
For it is written in the book of Psalms, Let his habitation be desolate, and let no man dwell therein, and his bishopric let another take.
Come on, y'all. Okay. It's in the book of Acts. Y'all can find it.
Acts 1 and 20.
That is correct.
In fact.
Amen.
Okay.
Now, Pastor Bonnet asked a question last week. Pastor Bonnet asked a question last week in regard to this bloodhound. Who was the one that replaced the other disciple that went, that basically lost his place?
Man, the man. I can't think of his name. The man. Is it the man, though?
Matthias.
It's Matthias.
Oh, Matthias.
Amen.
All right.
Yep. It's in Acts chapter 1. If you look near the end of the chapter of Acts chapter 1, it says there were two men, Joseph and Matthias. They cast lots, and the lot fell upon Matthias.
Great job. Great job, Yvette. Did you get one with you? Did you travel alone?
Good job.
Amen. Congratulations to the both of you.
Amen.
All right.
Is that First Lady Bonnet?
I was Evangelist Clayton. And First Lady
Evangelist Clayton.
Okay. Maybe my ears are playing tricks on me. I forget to swear I heard First Lady Bonnet.
All right.
I am on the phone, but that was not me. That was
the one. Grace us with our presence today, as always, and we thank you.
Amen.
Bless you, First Lady.
Thank
it's all right,
you.
It's all right.
Oh, hey, Derek.
I bless you, sweetheart.
Thank you. How you
bless
doing,
you. Benjamin? I'm
Amen.
Blessed. How you are?
I am blessed. Pastor Bonnet, First Lady, you missed a great show last night. So stay tuned for Tippity Tap 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 Tippity Tap 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 Tap. Amen. Here on the Six Eyes Radio Network.
All right.
Yeah.
Now let me give you the verse that you'll have to sniff out by next week, and here we go.
Amen.
Let everything that has breath praise the
Lord.
Praise ye the Lord.
No, it says everything that hath breath, praise ye the Lord. And we'll hear that one more time.
Let everything that hath breath, praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
That is Isn't it interesting? It repeats that a second time. Praise ye the Lord. And we'll hear that one more time for our listeners' sake.
Let everything that hath breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord.
Amen.
All right, you all sniff that out by next Sunday. You're the Six Eyes Gospel Show here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. We are here every Sunday where you get to praise them without leaving the house. That is 12
Amen.
Central, 1 p.m. Eastern, and 10 a.m. Pacific, the Six Eyes Gospel Show. Make sure you share the show with your friends. I want to say hello to everybody on the phone lines. Our surrounding city and states, our faraway countries. We thank you. You're enjoying the best in the gospel, the Six Eyes Gospel Show, only on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Now, this next song that I'm going to play is very fitting, and just listen to the lyrics.
Amen.
Yeah.
2023, we're still asking what's going on. So we want to say condolences to the Mosley family. 2-year-old Tylen Brown was eaten by an alligator, consumed by an alligator. They did get the baby out, so we just want to pray for the mental of the father. We want to pray for the family. 2 years old, never got a chance, full of possibilities, never got a chance to experience, never got a chance to get to age 3, going at 2 years old. And here on out, when we are enjoying music and talking and preaching and such, please be mindful that this is a live broadcast and put yourselves on mute. That would be greatly appreciated because I heard some noise in the background, and Marvin Gaye was asking me what's going on. I couldn't answer him. But that song was fitting. It's his heavenly birthday. So happy birthday from the Six Eyes Radio Network to your family. And what's going on? So that was the main reason for me to play that song, What is Going On?
And we just definitely want to continue to pray for our world as a whole, praying for the world, all the craziness that's going on. Amen.
Amen. And the words of that song always touch me, too, because of the timing and the words that's in there, you know. Father, Father.
Yeah. It hasn't changed. I mean, that song is almost 50 years old, and we're still asking the question, what's going on?
Mm-hmm. But also, what I was saying was I related it back to what was going on with him and his father, too, and the timing of his death.
Yeah. You know, but they got the
happy.
Man.
We're praying for you and your still praying for you and your family, and happy heavenly birthday to your father today, Sister Nikita.
Thank you so much. I still have you guys in my prayers, too. I appreciate that so much. It's
absolutely
crazy. You know, my mom and dad are
up. Yes. Yes. We're praying
for you. They're reunited.
May I say something?
Yes, you may.
You know, there's so much brokenness. There's so much brokenness that's going on in our society. Not only us, but those, our next door neighbors, our community. And so much, and you know, you sometimes contemplate to yourself what's really going on. What's really going on? We know that the word of God is true. We know that his manifestation is coming forward. Everything that he said in his word is coming to pass. And are we ready? Are we truly, truly ready? Or does it sometimes confine those that just can't take it, those that just can't go through it, those that just can't bear it? Ask yourself what's going on in the mental capacity of our lives today, our children, our neighbors, our community, our sisters, and our brothers. You know, and it's so profound and it's so fitting that you played that song, because so many questions in the back of the mind are saying, what's really going on? What's going on? You know, why there's so much broken? Why there's so much pain? And there was pain in that song that you just played. So much pain to what's going on right now. And we still living in a society where there's so much bitterness, so much anger, so much hatred, so much envy, so much jealousy, so much going on. And as you said last night, Mr. Six, you talked about even those that portraying to be somebody or something that they're not. And then you becoming to be at gunpoint, a robbery, and you just may lose your life at that point in time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm complete.
Yes, ma'am. Thank you for that, Evangelist Clay. And we continue to pray for your daughter as well, praying for a speedy recovery. Also, pray for my friend, B-Rock Benton. He's in intensive care, so pray for his wife, Keisha Benton. And we're praying for a speedy recovery for him. B-Rock Benton, he's in intensive care right now, so we're praying for him for a speedy recovery. And anybody else that's going through anything, we're just praying for the world. Whatever it is, God knows. Amen. We'll have more conversation after this song. John P. Key, show up from the Six Eyes Radio Gospel Show.
Hello to the squad out there. Hello to the squad. And hello to the family empire. Hello to the family empire.
Morning and
Amen, amen, amen. You're enjoying the Sick Lives Gospel Show. Check us out on the Gospel Rewind. Whether later on tonight, sometime in the evening, tomorrow, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Rewind, Six Eyes Gospel Show. Amen. Everybody
Amen.
Good?
Yes, indeed.
Amen.
Amen.
Everybody clap your hands.
Thank you.
Amen. And we want to send our condolences to the Wayans family on the loss of their father. We're praying for you. Our thoughts and prayers goes out to you at this difficult time. Praying for the Wayans family on the loss of their father from the Six Eyes Radio Network.
Amen.
Just enjoyed the Six Eyes Gospel Show on the Six Eyes Radio Network. God bless and enjoy the rest of your afternoon.
Amen. Love you all.
Love you guys. Love you all too. Have a good day.
Amen.
Right, everybody, take care, take care, take care. Hear this shit. God bless y'all. Take care.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Hey, Tipper.